I want to take you to New York tonight, so to speak. I want to take you through Los Angeles. I'm going to go the long way around, because I think if we go from here to Los Angeles and then to New York, by the time we get to our punchline, your hearts will just light with fire. I want you to get it. So I'm going to make a lengthy introduction to make my point, and I think it'll be helpful to you. I feel led to do it this way. If I told you who I was, if you didn't know me, and I explained all the details of my family tree, that I'm a mother and a grandmother, I'm an aunt and a niece, a wife, and then I tell you all about my family, who's who does what where, who lives where, you couldn't possibly capture it all. And we have a very simple family. Don't have too many unusual things that have happened over the years. You eventually know, but it might take you several tries to know who I am. And I tell you where my grandmother's from, where my other grandmother's from, both gone now, where my grandfather's from, where my aunt lives, and where my uncle lives, and who my grandchildren are. There's a lot to know. Now, people that have known me a long time don't remember all those things. They've heard a lot of those things, and they'll say, I said, no, that's the wrong grandmother. Because it's complicated. Well, God is great big. Do you know that? Huh? Did y'all have a hard day at work? You did? You're going to make it, though, right? God is great big. And when God began to talk about himself, he called himself by different names, and he called himself by different names in the lives of different people. He used the name that would express the element of his character that they needed to hear. Abraham knew God as El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. He also knew God as Jehovah Jireh. Gideon knew God as Jehovah Shalom, but Joshua knew God as Jehovah Nissi. And God has many, many names, so many names that books have been published, one called The Names of God, which are excellent reading. God did this because he is so big, he begins to explain who he is and all he can do, and he does it progressively. So the more scripture you read, the further you get in the Bible, the more you know about God, the more you know about what he can do. Each name expresses some aspect of who God is and what God's going to do. Each name that you would call me would express some aspect of who I am and how I relate to those people. For instance, my aunt in Sarasota. If I tell you I'm a niece and tell you about my aunt, you understand the kind of relationship that we have. If I told you about my grandchildren, you'd understand the kind of relationship that we have. They have a particular relationship based upon that characteristic. Well, God has many, many different aspects of his personality, and for you to understand those aspects, he begins to share those one thing at a time, one name at a time. And in the Old Testament, God begins to unravel. It's kind of like blowing up a balloon. And you begin to see the big picture. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Or putting together a puzzle. And you have a piece here. You have El Shaddai here. And you join El Shaddai to Jehovah Jireh. And then you join Jehovah Jireh to Jehovah Nissi. And all of the names of God, multiple names of God, come together. And you begin to see the big God, how big he is, the multiple picture. Now, when God calls himself Jehovah Shalom, that's the God of peace. The word Jehovah means the self-existent one. The one who was and is to come. The self-existent one, the one who always was. These seven names are listed because they're called redemptive names. These are names of Jehovah that come to you, that belong to you because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these characteristics and aspects of God's personality are secured by Jesus' blood. They're called redemptive names. Redemptive names. The self-existent one reveals himself and secures by blood for you these things. Now, Jehovah Shalom is the God of peace, the Lord of peace. Jehovah Shalom was the name he gave to Gideon. God sent the angel to Gideon to tell Gideon he was going to deliver people of Israel from the Midianites, and Gideon didn't think he was qualified. He said, oh, no, I'm the least in my family. In other words, you've picked the wrong one, God. I'm not the one to do that. He didn't realize he was talking to an angel. After he found out he had a big job to do and he didn't think he could do it, then he found out he was talking to an angel. He became very, very frightened. And God said, no, peace. Have peace. Have peace. And Gideon, the peace of God came upon Gideon in such measure, he called that place the place of Jehovah Shalom, the place where the Lord of peace appeared to him. God is a God of peace, and he wants you to have peace. Now, redemptive names are always secured and anchored in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things are for everybody, because everything the blood does is for everybody. For God so loved the world that whosoever, what? Whosoever. Who? Whosoever. So where the blood was shed, anybody who will receive the work of the blood can have that characteristic. Now look at Colossians and let me show you that the peace of God is anchored in blood, that the God of peace comes to you because of shed blood. Colossians 1:20 is very, very clear. It couldn't be clearer. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. How did he make peace? Through the blood of his cross. Now there's a difference in natural peace, supernatural peace. Natural peace depends upon everybody got an A report card and you have plenty of money and your car's running good and you love your new home, so you have peace. Nobody's bothering you. You have good neighbors on either side. You get to eat out 5 times a week. You don't have to do too much cooking. Your hair looks good and you just have peace about life. Did I leave anything out? Your teeth are white. I mean, I don't know. Whatever does it for you. But there's a supernatural peace. And Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. There's a worldly peace, a natural peace that comes through circumstances. It comes because everything's rolling really well. But there's a supernatural peace, the peace of Jesus that comes to you. And that peace comes to you because of shed blood. And it doesn't matter how life is, what kind of circumstances you're in, you can have supernatural peace because peace is provided by the blood. And what comes by blood is for everybody. In Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, we have the same line of verse. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. These are redemptive names. They come through blood. They're anchored in blood. They're secured by blood. And with the blood was shed, it was shed for how many? Now, we would never say only a few can have peace. We're smart enough to know that everybody can have peace. Everybody can walk with God. Everybody can trust God. Everybody can believe in God. Everybody can know that God works in their lives and have peace beyond understanding. That's the promise of the Scripture. And it doesn't matter. The Scripture says several different things. It says peace beyond understanding. It says perfect peace. Well, peace beyond understanding, perfect peace are the same different expressions of the same concept. And he says, we have peace, how? Through the blood. Now, the same thing is said in Romans 5:1. It says, therefore, being justified, we have peace. Justification is what you get because the blood was shed. It means just as if I'd never sinned. Well, you were just as if you never sinned. Your sins were remitted because of Jesus' death and resurrection because the blood was shed. Therefore, being justified or made just as if you never sinned, you have peace. Once again, a proof that this peace beyond understanding comes through the blood. And if it comes through the blood, what the blood did, what the cross did, what Jesus' death did, is for everybody. There aren't any exceptions. Everybody can have peace. Now, if we move on to Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Nissi is the Lord our captain, or the Lord our banner. In Jehovah Nissi, you remember Joshua was told to go to battle against Amalek. And Moses went to the top of the hill. When he held his hands up, they won. And when his hands began to fall, they began to lose. And so Aaron was on one side, Hur on the other, and they held his hands up. And when Joshua won that battle, they built an altar there and called the place of that place Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our captain, our banner, which is a flag, or our victor. There is victory because you have a captain. There's a captain because Jesus' blood was shed. Now turn to Hebrews and let me prove this to you. Hebrews chapter 2. The fact that Jesus is your captain, that you can have victory, is anchored in blood. Now if you look at Hebrews 2:10, it became him, talking about God, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the what? The captain, the who? The captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering. The captain is the one who leads you to victory. Make the captain of their salvation, perfect through suffering. Now, you want to know what kind of suffering? You go back to verse 9. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Talking about the cross, talking about the shed blood. He's a captain. He's available to lead you to victory because he died on the cross and Satan was defeated. You have that wonderful verse in Colossians 2:15 that says, Jesus spoiled principalities and powers. That word spoil we don't use in that manner. It means he robbed or stripped or brought to nothing principalities and powers, which is Satan and his entire team. When the 3 days was up, Satan was totally, completely, and fully defeated. And Jesus came up victorious, and that victory was for you. And now he is the captain because of his shed blood, because he defeated Satan. He's the captain to lead you to victory. And that victory, that captainship, is anchored in his death, anchored in his blood. And what the blood does is for all. There aren't any exceptions. Everybody can have victory. Everybody can follow the captain. What the blood does, what the cross does, is for everybody.
Now you look at Jehovah Raah is the Lord our shepherd. We have that wonderful verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it tells us exactly what a shepherd would do. But if you go to the words of Jesus himself in John chapter 10, you'll find out that the fact that he's your shepherd is because he died. Wonderful verses in John chapter 10. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Gives his life, surrenders his life, died for the sheep. Then he goes on to say, a hireling wouldn't give his life, wouldn't die for the sheep. And then down in verse 17, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me. I laid it down of myself. Very definitely talking about his death, talking about those 3 days and three nights, and that wonderful victory when the 3 days were over. He said, I laid down my life. I died for the sheep. He died for the sheep. He's now the shepherd of the sheep, and he's the shepherd of the sheep because of his shed blood. Because of his death, he's your shepherd. And what the blood does, it does for everybody. There aren't exceptions. There aren't some Christians that get a shepherd, some Christians that don't get a shepherd. Some that get peace, some that don't get peace. Some that have a captain, the rest of you don't have a captain. To victory, do the best you can. Stumble along through life, and you'll understand it better by and by. That's what the songwriter said. He was wrong, by the way, and you won't hear us singing that here. Because some things you can understand now. I know there are things we'll never understand till by and by, but some things you can understand now. Well, Jehovah Raah is the Lord our shepherd. And the shepherd is going to do wonderful things. He's going to lead you. If there's any darkness, he's going to lead you through the darkness. He's going to provide green pastures and still waters. He's going to provide a table right in the presence of the enemy. He's going to provide a house where his very presence inhabits, and you can be there forever and ever and ever. And all of that comes to you because Jesus' blood was shed. And I'm going to say over and over again so you get it in your spirit. What the blood does, it does for everybody. Everybody has a captain. Everybody has victory. Everybody has a shepherd. Everybody has peace. Now, Jehovah Jireh is the God who provides. And it really means, in the Hebrew, the God who sees ahead and provides. And it's used in the life of Abraham when God told Abraham to take Isaac up and offer him on the altar. And when he goes to slay Abraham, God speaks from heaven and says, don't kill him. And then they find the lamb in the thicket, the ram in the thicket, and they offer the ram instead of offering Isaac. Well, at that place, Abraham said, Jehovah Jireh. I mean, the God who saw ahead, the God who looked ahead and provided. Now, the fact that God provided and looks ahead provided, his multitude of provision for you is anchored in his shed blood. Now, look at Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what? All things. Give us what? How many things? So the provision of all things, in other words, anything you need, he that spared not his own son, that's a reference to the death, a reference to the shed blood. So the fact that he is Jehovah Jireh, you know, we sing Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and we think of money, honey, but it's a lot more than money. Some days money's not going to do it for me. I mean, I appreciate money. More about money. Tell me more. No, I think the songwriter said more about Jesus. It's not about money. It's about a multitude of provision. And Jehovah Jireh is the God of provision, the God who sees ahead and provides, the God who can provide because he that spared not his own son delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So the fact that you can have provision and you can have provision and you can have provision is because the blood was shed. Anytime the blood of Jesus is mentioned and the blood of rams and goats, which represented his blood until he came, that blood that was shed opened up the door for everything you would need. And everything that Adam lost comes back to you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was lost in the garden now comes to you by the blood. There isn't anybody that can say, I can't have peace, or I don't have a shepherd, or nobody provides for me. Because where the blood was shed, if it's anchored in blood, it's yours. If it's anchored in blood, it belongs to you. And all of these are called redemptive names. Now, there's a multitude of names of God, a multitude of names, a whole book full. But all of these particular are isolated because they're compound names. They're usually listed in compound form. And they mean Jehovah, the self-existent one who brings peace, the self-existent one who is our captain, the self-existent one who is our shepherd, and the self-existent one who provides. And it's all because Jesus died and his blood was shed that this happens. And there aren't any exceptions. Now, Jehovah Shammah is the God who's always present. You remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 28? Lo, I'm with you always. That's what this means. I'm with you always. The Old Testament says, fear thou not, I'm with you. I love that. Fear thou not, I'm with you. I will strengthen thee. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, I'm with you. Well, how long did he say he'd be with you? So are there any Christians going to be deserted? Absolutely not. Book of Hebrews said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll never. Now, how can we be sure that his continual presence in our life is through blood? Look at Ephesians 2. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near. How? Made near how? How near are you? He's here. Never leave us or forsake us. How near are you? He's here always. How near are you? The Holy Ghost dwells on the inside. The day you became a Christian, the Holy Ghost came to dwell on the inside. God is close. God is real close. He says, I'm not leaving. And he said, you were far away. But you came near. You came into my presence. I came into you and you came into me because of the blood. So there isn't any Christian that's isolated. There isn't any Christian that's deserted. Now you may run from God. But the psalmist said, you dwell in the lowest parts of hell and I am there. You cannot escape the hand of God because he said, I will be with you. And he can do that because of Jesus' shed blood. So where there's peace, it's because the blood was shed. Jehovah Nissi, the captain, Jehovah Rea, the shepherd, Jehovah Jireh, the one who makes provision, and Jehovah Shammah, the one who's always present. Now, Jehovah Sidkenu is the God of righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. You are righteous, are right with God because of Jesus' blood. You were a sinner, you were an enemy of God, but Jesus came and brought reconciliation. And through this reconciliation, you're now right with God, you have righteousness. Now, look at Romans chapter 3, and we'll prove that to you. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Washes white as snow. Verse 24. This is a wonderful chapter. We could read a lot of these verses. But it says, being justified. Now, the word justified and the word righteous are identical in the Greek. You can be just or you can be right. Same word. You can be righteous or you can be justified. It's all one word. It's not two words. We can say being made righteous, being justified, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. You see the word redemption? Go back to Ephesians 1. What does Ephesians 1 say? Colossians 1 says the same thing. In whom we have redemption through his blood. In whom we have redemption. How does redemption come? Through the blood. You're justified or made righteous. Jehovah Sidkenu, the God of justification or the God of righteousness, comes to you through the blood. Now, that's very important. What that means is you don't have to be ashamed to stand in the presence of God. You don't have to hang your head. There's no sin, no condemnation, because the blood has remitted or washed away all of your sins. Now, where the blood is shed, everybody that receives that blood is justified or made righteous. Everybody can go boldly before the presence of God because of that blood. Now look at Hebrews and let's see it again. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. This is my introduction. Is that all right with you? I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 10. Justification or righteousness is your sonship. It's who you are in God because you received Jesus. So as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1. You're a son of God. You're a righteous son of God. You have heaven's authority and permission to go boldly to come before the throne without shame because your sins are remitted. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Righteousness comes by blood. Entering God's presence comes by blood. Now, there aren't any exceptions to that. It's not that some are righteous and some aren't. Now, if you sin, you may lose your sense of righteousness. And you need to confess your sin. God's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But He is your God. He is your Father. And everybody that comes to Him comes through the blood. If you came through the blood, well, you can't get into the kingdom without going through the blood. You know that. You come through the blood, you can have peace. Now, God's kind of peace that doesn't depend upon material or natural circumstances. You can have a shepherd and a captain always leading you to victory. It's all provided by the blood. You can have abundant provision. You can have God's continual presence. And you're always righteous. Now, I have a key to my mother and daddy's house. It's not that I'm so good, that I was perfect. It's that I was raised there. I belonged there. They gave me a key. I have standing there. And Jehovah Sidkin is the God who gave you standing in heaven. Through His blood, you have a standing there. And it belongs to everybody. What comes through blood belongs to everybody. Now, this is why that's important. Somehow, when we come to Jehovah Rapha, who is the Lord our physician, or the Lord our healer, people want to isolate that name and say God doesn't heal today. In other words, the blood is no longer effective. It's no longer bringing healing. It used to heal, but it doesn't heal today. Or it doesn't heal everybody, only heals some people. Now, if that were the truth, we have to make it to the truth for everything the blood did. We'd have to say God heals some. If we say God heals some, we have to say only some are righteous. We'd have to say, well, God's only present with some. Then we'd have to say only some can have peace and some few can have provision. God will be the shepherd and the captain for some. Either the blood works for all or it doesn't. Isn't that right? And it works for all. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's working. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It makes diseases go. Now look at Isaiah. The last lesson we did, we showed you all the scriptures relative to the blood and sickness and disease. Just want to use three again to show you again. Isaiah 53, verse 5. If God doesn't heal all, if He picks and chooses, if some are sick for His glory, then the blood is not effective anymore. And if the blood is not effective in one arena, it may not be effective in the next arena. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe it doesn't work for you. Maybe the rest of the world can have peace, but you're to forever be tormented. See, if we're going to make any exceptions, we're going to have to make a lot of exceptions. But we cannot make any exceptions to the work of the blood. Cannot do it. The scripture does not do it. Now look, verse 5, He was wounded, talking about Jesus for our transgressions. You're aware He was wounded, He was crucified, He was killed for transgressions. He was bruised for iniquities. A bruise is actually blood under the skin. That's my medical technical understanding. I have a totally non-medical mind. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. The chastisement of our peace. Right there telling what the cross did mentions that the cross brought you peace. Now next time, do you ever get disturbed, uptight, and strung out? That ever happened to you? If it doesn't, we want you to write a book and write it quick. We need to read it. When that happens, see, the blood brought you peace. Jesus is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. You can raise your hands to heaven right in the middle of your turmoil, right in the middle of your distress and sing, oh, the blood of Jesus, I have peace. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It gives me perfect peace. Do you write your own music? I do. None of it's publishable, but I'm writing it. Helps my heart. Now look, with His stripes we are healed. Now some have said that's spiritual healing, but there actually isn't any such thing in relative to the cross, and this is relative to the wounds on the cross, the death on the cross. You didn't need to be healed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Healing is restoration of the tissues from a diseased condition. If you're healed, you're part new and part old. If you're part new and part old, the old part's going to hell. And if the old parts go to hell, the new part will have to go with it because you can't be divided. Just spiritual logic, I call that. No, you needed to be new, and what was healed was the physical body. What could be restored was the physical body. What's part new and part old is the physical body. When you get healing, there are some things in your body that are like they were, but there are some things that God has renewed and changed. Thank God for healing. Now, what I want you to see is it says he was wounded for our, C-O-U-R, our. Who is that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever. You see that? Whosoever? Whosoever. Whosoever. How many people does that include? So this hour has to be everybody. He was wounded for everybody's transgressions. He was bruised for everybody's iniquities. The chastisement of everybody's peace was upon him. By his stripes a few are healed. It has to be everybody. It has to be everybody, doesn't it? My brother's a pastor. He's cute. He called me one day and he said, where is that scripture that says, whosoever will may come? I said, it's in the hymn book. You know, I know my hymn book. You can't trick me in the hymn book. He said, no, I want the scripture. I don't want the hymn. I want the scripture. I said, it's in the hymn book. He said, oh, just give me the scripture. He thought I'm playing a game. I said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever. He said, no, it's not the one. I want the one that says whosoever will may come. I said, hymn book. He wouldn't leave me alone. So I said, get out Strong's exhaustive concordance of New Testament words and look up that phrase, whosoever will may come. He said, I already did that and they forgot to put it in there. And I said, hymn book, whosoever will, shout the acclamation over vale and dale. Tis the loving Father, like a mighty sea, said, whosoever will may come, hymn book. He was not happy with me. But John 3:16 says, whosoever. If he died for whosoever, he was bruised for whosoever, he was wounded for whosoever, that includes everybody. What the blood did, it did for everybody. There are no exceptions to what the blood did. You cannot exempt yourself. You are included. And when religion writes off healing or any aspect of the work of Christ, this is a picture of the work of Christ. And when they write off any aspect, they're saying what Jesus did is no longer for whosoever. And they lie. Now look at 1 Peter 2:24. Whosoever will. Did you ever sing that song? Whosoever will. That's right, isn't it, Daddy? First Peter 2:24. Who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree, that we who? Whose sins did he bear? Whosoever's. Who's this we? God so loved the world, whosoever, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You who? The world, whosoever. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Now look at Matthew 8. In moments like these, we sing out a song. Verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed. How many's all? A few? Do you know how many a few is? Do you happen to know how many a few is? I happen to know that. Scripture says a few were saved by water, talking about Noah and his family. How many were there? Eight. Did you know that? See, God speaks specifically. He doesn't use words haphazardly. If he says all, he didn't mean a few. If he said all, he didn't mean one here and one there. He said he healed all that were sick that it might be fulfilled. We just read this prophecy of Isaiah. He himself took our. Who is our? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus died for the world. He died for whosoever. The ours and the we's are the whosoever's that will come to him. Now, there are two aspects of theology. One's what's legalistic and one's what's experiential. There's a lot of things that are legalistic that people do not experience. There are a lot of things that you could have that you don't have, and there's a reason for that. What would be the main reason? You know, if you left me $1 million, but you didn't tell me that, nobody told me that, I can live and die without your $1 million. It's legally mine. It's in a bank account. There's legal paperwork, but I didn't have that information. I didn't have that report. I didn't have that knowledge, so I didn't get it. I was included, but I didn't know it was included. You know, and the devil's full of ambassadors who will make sure that you think you're not included. He has voices and spokesmen all over the world. Oh, God doesn't heal today. I said, isn't that funny? The blood's no longer working. I thought it'd still work. Well, does it work? Can you still have peace? Is he still the shepherd? Is he still the captain? Is he still your righteousness? Then the blood's still working. Why would the blood work in 6 arenas and fail to work in the 7th? See, all of these things legally belong to you. Now look at Isaiah 53 again. Let me show you something marvelous. Whosoever will, whosoever will. I'm a whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Whosoever will, whosoever will. Who hath, verse 1, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed the report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord is always the power or the strength of God. Now that's real, real big, because in the New Testament, Jesus said, I cast out devils by the finger of God. If you can cast out a devil with God's finger, imagine what you can do with the fullness of his arm. Do you get that? Now he says, who's believed the report? To whom, question, is the arm of the Lord revealed? The arm of the Lord, the strength of God, the power of God is revealed to the man that believes the report. That's that simple. It's that simple. If you believe the report. Now see, the report's for whosoever. Whosoever will. But if you don't get the report and believe the report, then it won't work for you. But if you'll just get the report and believe the report, the man that believes the report of heaven, that knows what God has done through Jesus Christ, is the man that can expect. It doesn't say the arms of God. It says the arm of God, the power and the strength of God. Now look at Matthew 14. Whosoever will, I'm a whosoever. I'm a brand new man. My sins are passed away. My diseases too. I have peace beyond understanding. Write it yourself. Now look, 14:35. When the men of that place had knowledge. Is that the report? If you have the report, you have knowledge. Same thing. When they had knowledge, they sent out into all the country round about, brought unto him all that were diseased. Now, if God doesn't heal today, why did they bother? If they had the right report and God doesn't heal today, they wouldn't have gone out and picked up the diseased people. The report obviously said that God heals diseased people. I also know the report didn't say he heals some, or they would have been picking and choosing. They brought them all. It says they brought them all. Everybody they found that was sick, they brought. Because they had the report. Who's believed the report? They had the report. And then it says, they besought him. Verse 36, they might only touch the hem of his garment. Now watch this. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. Healing is for all. The blood is for all. But there obviously were some people in that crowd that were brought by these people who didn't believe the report. If they believed the report and touched Jesus. Now that tells you exactly what was in the report that they heard. See, God doesn't tell everything to everybody. The woman with the issue of blood didn't say, I know if they anoint me with oil, I'll be healed. That wasn't the report she had. She said, if I touch him, I'll be healed. It's obvious that they had that same report. And they gathered up everybody because the report said whosoever. God's report always says whosoever will. Whosoever will. Shout the acclamation over vale and dale. But as many as touched, who's believed the report? To whom was the arm of the Lord revealed? See, they were healed, those that touched him. They took the report, they believed the report, they acted on the report, they got their healing. Isn't that marvelous? You're looking at me like I'm writing it myself. But I'm not writing it myself. Now look at Numbers 21. Let's look in the Old Testament. I'm a whosoever. Jesus died for me. I'm a whosoever. He has set me free. I'm a whosoever. My sins are washed away. I'm a whosoever. Jesus gave me victory. Are you a whosoever? Yes. Are you a part of the world? For God so loved the world. Does that include you? You can't study the scripture and find out that all Jesus did was die for sin. Because it says a lot more than that. And God wouldn't have said you can have peace through the blood if the blood wasn't significant in the arena of peace. He wouldn't say the captain of your salvation suffered and suffered death if the death and the shed blood wasn't important to bringing you victory, to bringing you a captain. All of these things. He wouldn't say Jehovah Jireh, God meets your need, supplies your need because of the cross, Romans 8:32, if the blood wasn't important. See, the blood did a lot more than forgive sins. Did a lot more than remit sins. It did a lot more than let you in the kingdom. It made an abundant provision you, and the blood is for whosoever. Where you see the blood of the cross, you see that whosoever will can receive. Now, if you don't want to receive, God doesn't write you off. Who wrote you off? You did it yourself. And people do that because they hear the report of the world, but you get your report from God. Now, you remember we read this when we talked about the blood. These people have been bitten by snakes, and the Lord said, verse 8, to make a fiery serpent set upon a pole. It'll come to pass, everyone that is bitten, how many? How many? Are you in everyone? Are you in everyone? Is anybody in this group left out? Not legally. Legally, it is yours. It is provided. It's in your account. You can have it. Everyone is bitten. When he looks upon it, shall live. What happens to the man that doesn't look? What happens to the man that doesn't look? Now, if Moses stands there and he makes that serpent, puts it on a pole and says, the Lord said, everyone that looks at that serpent will live. And I keep looking at my feet and looking at the snakes crawling between my feet. God didn't X me out. You can't say God didn't want me to be healed. God clearly said, everyone that looks. I was included. But I didn't look. I didn't believe the report. I had the report. Now, I know Moses didn't publish it in the newspaper. It didn't go by email, text message, or on the phone. But he stood in that arena, and he said, the Lord said, everyone that looks. And that word looks means to stare. It means you're focused. You're not looking. You got snakes crawling. That's what snakes infested the camp, but people began to die. You got snakes everywhere. Now, I can look at the choice is mine. But if I look, there are no exceptions for people that'll hear and trust. No exceptions. The blood makes no exceptions. Very important. Let's look at it again, won't you? Y'all are so quiet tonight. Look at Matthew 9. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Verse 27. These are two blind men came to Jesus saying, have mercy on us, son of David. Son of David tells you that's one thing God called himself. Tells you that they knew Jesus was the Messiah. Son of David was his messianic name. It means they knew he was the Messiah, the Son of God that they had been looking for. All of that is in the name Son of David. And when he was come to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, believe you that I'm able to do this. Do you believe the report? Do you believe the report? And they said, yes. And he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith in the report, according to your confidence in what God has said, you are healed. He asked them, did they believe? And they said, yes, they believe. And they were healed because they believed. Now, if they had not been healed, if they said, no, we're not sure that you're healing us, we're not positive that you can heal us, then they would not have received. But whose fault would that have been? Because they didn't believe the report. The man that doesn't believe the report the first time he reads it needs to keep reading the report. Now, you can fool me, because I'm not a computer person. I'm not even interested in computers. I don't even know how to turn ours on. I am delightfully ignorant. And every now and then, they pull some report off of that and give it to me, and I'm reading, and I don't have a clue what I'm reading. You know, they want me to buy something, some new equipment or something. And I said, look, just tell me what you want, why you want it, how much it costs, and I'll tell you if you can have it or not. I'm not interested in the technical jargon. I can't get it. Well, if you can't get what God said, reread it. Read the report again. And start with John 3:16 and begin to say, I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. I'm an our. I'm a we. That includes me. The blood works. The blood works. It does the same thing it's always done. It does the same thing. And Jesus said, I'm healing all because of what Isaiah said, the prophecy, the promise of Isaiah, that he was wounded for transgressions and by his stripes we were healed. Now let's look at it one more time. Look at Mark 5. Whosoever will. The blood works for how many? Works for whosoever. This is the woman with the issue of blood, been sick 12 years. You can go back to the Levitical code and see that the issue of blood required a sin sacrifice because sin and sickness are bound together. We discussed that. And if you didn't get that CD and you just want the one, you may have it. Have suffered many things of many physicians. I love that word suffered because I think I've been there. Have spent all that she had. I think I've done that too. Was nothing better but rather grew worse. And when she what? She heard of Jesus. She what? That's verse 27, chapter 5 of Mark. She what? Did she hear the report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To the man who hears and believes the report. Now that's not hard. She heard, I tell you exactly what she heard. She heard everybody touches him was healed. So she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She's full of faith. Jesus said to her in verse 34, daughter, thy faith made thee whole. What made her whole? Where's faith come from? Comes by hearing. Where did she get that faith? From hearing the report. Now, if she hadn't heard a report, she didn't get the report. You know, things happen all the time that I don't know about. One thing, I don't fall off any mountain on curiosity. I am the least curious person in the world. Wayne Cumby is the same. If somebody tells me something and he says, what was that? And I say, I can't really share that with you. He'll never even ask again. He's not even think about it again. And consequently, he and I never know anything. People are 8 months pregnant before it comes to me, the report comes to me. I mean, I never get the report. Everybody knows the report. But I don't know the report. What if this woman didn't get the report? She wouldn't have gotten healed because she didn't get the report. But obviously, the problem wasn't that God didn't want her healed. Because once she got the report, she got healed. Now look at Mark 6. Y'all are making me work too hard tonight. I already talked once today. Verse 2. The Sabbath was come. He began to teach Jesus in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished. From whence had this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Jude, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended. Now it already tells you he's teaching in a synagogue, their relationship to what he's teaching. If they were offended, they said, we know him. He was a carpenter's son, lived all his life among us, and his brothers are still here and his sisters. Now, what does that tell you about the report that they heard? They didn't believe the report. They didn't believe he was Jesus, the Son of God. They didn't believe in his power to heal, even though they had seen mighty works. They said, no, we know him. We know him. He's the carpenter's son. They didn't believe the report. The man that believes the report gets the benefit of what's paid for. The blood paid for all of these things. It is paid for. The songwriter had it right. He said, Jesus paid it all. He didn't say Jesus paid for half. And then you got to pray and pray and pray and see which half belongs to you. Kind of like having a refrigerator full of popsicles, 5 popsicles and 10 children. And then we got to decide which of these children get a popsicle and which don't get a popsicle. All of God's children. All of God's children who get the report and believe the report get the benefit that's promised in the report. The report said you can have peace, you can have healing, you can have a shepherd, you can have a captain, you can have righteousness, you can have God's continual presence, His prompt provision. All of that comes through the blood. Therefore, being justified, we have peace. We have peace through the blood of the cross. He that spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how much shall He not always give us all things? These things are legally yours, and they come to you when you get the report about them and you say, I believe that report. Now there's always half a dozen said, may I don't have enough faith. Please, give me a break. This is not a matter of enough faith. Did you get the report? Did you believe the report? Did you get the report? Do you believe the report? Wayne told me this funniest story some time ago, and I said, you're kidding, right? He said, no, and he gave me all the details. He went on and on and on. I said, I can't hardly believe that's true, Wayne. That just doesn't seem right to me. See, I'm not believing his report. And then he said, that's what so-and-so said. I could have picked up a book and hit him. You don't know so-and-so. Now, they're honest, and they're loving, and they're kind, but they're always confused. The gift of if there is a gift of confusion, this person has that. And I said, don't ever, ever tell me anything again without preface. I got this from so-and-so. And then right up front, I know there's something about this report that's not exactly right. I couldn't believe the report. Now, these people didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. They saw Him do mighty works. They were totally offended by Him. And it says in verse 5, the most marvelous thing, He could there. It doesn't say He wouldn't do it. What does it say? Mark 6, 5. Jesus came. The healer is there. He heals whosoever. He heals everybody that believes the report. And it says, He what? He could there. He couldn't do it. You know what the Spanish Bible says? Someone told me, I don't read Spanish. I took Spanish. All I can say is no hablo español. Had 2 years, and that's what I came out with. The Spanish Bible says He tried to and He couldn't. So I thought Jesus could do anything. Jesus is responding to your faith in the report. Do you have the report? Does the report say He heals? Do you believe the report? Yes. It's not a matter of how much faith you've got. It's simple. Do you believe the report? Did you get the report? Do you believe the report? Now look, He could there. He couldn't do it because they wouldn't believe. He marveled, verse 6, because of their what? Unbelief. They did not believe. It was theirs. There are no exceptions. The blood provides for every single person. It belonged to these people in Capernaum, but because they didn't believe it, they didn't receive it. Where the poor report is believed, the power of that report affects the healing and a cure. Amen. All you have to do is say, I believe the report. I believe the report, Lord. I believe the report, Lord. I believe your report, Lord. Now, if I told you I had $1 million in my pocket, do you believe that report? If I told you I just bought me a new $80,000 motor vehicle, do you believe that report? People are so gullible. I taught this lesson one time, and I told the people that Wayne and I were getting a divorce. We've been married 42 years, by the way. He's not going anywhere. I've got my shackles on him. And they went, You know you can't always believe what people say. Why are you believing them when they're telling you Jesus doesn't heal today? Why don't you get the report from Almighty God? God said, whosoever will. Whosoever will. I'm going to. Yeah. These people could have been healed. They were not healed. They failed to believe the report. But if God says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? What God says, God who does not lie, always keeps his word. He gives us the report. And he said, I'm willing to extend my arm to you. Not the finger, the arm. He said, I'll extend my arm to you. But you have to believe the report. Don't ever let me hear you say again, maybe I don't have more faith. It's not a matter of more faith, less faith. Either you believe the report or you don't believe the report. Do you believe it? Do you believe the report? Do you believe the report? Do you believe the report? Then I say, okay, God, I believe the report. Come on with your arm. And having done all to stand therefore, one day you'll feel. Healing begins in the spirit, begins on the inside. People are worried because they don't feel healed. It's not a feeling. God sent his word. Where does the word go? It goes into the spirit man. It starts in here. And healing comes from the inside. So it's working long before you can feel anything in your body. And I say, Lord, I believe that report. I'm a whosoever. I believe the report. My sins are washed away. My diseases too. I have peace beyond understanding. You died for me. Where the blood was shed, the provisions of that blood are legally for every single person. Now let me ask you about salvation. Why don't people get saved? But they could be saved. Is it that God doesn't want them saved? Is it that the blood only saves a few? They didn't get it. They either didn't hear the report or didn't believe the report. But the problem wasn't in God's end. That's why we keep telling them over and over again and ask the Holy Spirit to draw them. We want them to get and understand the report. Isn't that right? Now raise your hand to heaven. Left hand, right hand, I don't care. Not a legal person. Say, so, I believe the report, Lord. I believe the report. You said the arm of God came to the people who believe the report. That's me. I'm a whosoever. It's mine now. Amen.